Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance now on this Monday, May 13th, 2019. And live with me tonight in studio, I have the Parson Larson.
Good evening.
And out yonder in Georgia, we have Mark Cahill. Are you there, Mark?
Hey, y'all. How's it going today?
That's okay. And good to have you here with us. Mark is an author of 8 books, and he's made many, many DVDs. And he's a nationally known evangelist. And he's doing a lot better now than he was a while back, right?
And, yeah, doing good, actually. And, yeah, I'm a nationally known evangelist to my mother, but that's about it, though. We're just trying to be on the front lines and do the good stuff for the Lord.
Well, I can tell you this. You're a very lovely lady, Miss Linda Bowers. You're her favorite evangelist in the whole wide world.
Well, I tell you, I have some good stories witnessing, but she has some of the craziest stories where, you know, her and her husband... He speaks on cruises and stuff, and she just takes a boatload of material, and I mean that figuratively and literally, a boatload of material on these cruises, and she comes back with all these stories of when they go into ports and talk to people and hand literature out, some of the people that work on the boats and stuff who take the literature and just, so, you know, there's opportunities everywhere. We just have to make the most out of those opportunities.
Well, you know, Steve and Linda used to attend church that I pastored, Do His Other Word, but they went up and moved out to Houston, and then it rained all over that place, okay?
Yeah, it did. Actually, one of my college basketball teammates was there during the hurricane, and his house got to about 2 feet of water in it. But the good news is, picked up the phone, called him. He had a great talk about Jesus Christ and got to send him some money to help family get back on their feet. And he was just so thankful and so gracious. So even in those very tough times, it's a chance for us Christians to really shine and shine brightly for the Lord.
Well, I'm going to give you an opportunity to shine and shine brightly for the Lord right now tonight. And the folks all over this country. Right now, we have a young woman who's supposed to weigh about 130 pounds, and she's down to 85 pounds because she's got
anorexia.
Anorexia, okay. And tonight, we're going to... I want to ask you and all the folks out there all around the country, wherever you're at, okay, to hold her up in prayer. We're just going to call her JL, okay? That's her initials. And I'm going to ask you all to join with us because the Bible says there's power in prayer. And the Bible says that those who show mercy receive it. And we know that every single person out there listening to us right now either needs prayer now or going to need it very soon. And so what I'm doing is I'm asking all of them to join. And, Mark, if you would lead a prayer for JL, for her to receive. Now, she's a professing Christian, but you pray for her as the Lord leads you. Would you do that for us nationwide?
Yes, sir, definitely. Almighty God, we thank you so much for you as the God and the creator of this universe. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That gives us all the hope in the world, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth. And the moment that is written in Scripture, it means there's lies. It means there's falsehood. So if we're going to know truth, we have to know the scriptures, and then we have to live by those scriptures and do that. And your scriptures can't be any clearer that we are fearfully and wonderfully made in your eyes, Father. We're made in your image. And sometimes we buy into the way the world tells us how we're supposed to look, how we're supposed to act, how we're supposed to dress. And we need to walk away from that, Father, and walk right back to your scriptures and know that maybe when I look in the mirror, my muscles aren't as big as people at the gym, or I don't have that perfect body, but my soul is what's going to matter. So, Father, be with JL tonight. Get her in the Word and just to love your Word and live by your Word, Father God. Also draw some good Christian women into her life to encourage her, to build her up, Father God, and that she'll want to take care of the temple. Because we have this temple where we can speak and we can bring people truth about your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and salvation. But once we take our last breath, that can't happen anymore. So, Father, I just ask you to be with JL. Let her know how valuable she is to you, Father, and let her know you're not done with her yet. You want to do a great thing. And let this be one of those great testimonies of somebody who was into a tough situation. They grab your hand, Father, you walk them out of it, and it brings all glory and honor to you, Father, and your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask it all in the great name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
All right. Thank you very, very much. I wanted to announce also for the folks out there listening, we just lost, it was Heaven's Gain and our loss, one of my best friends I've ever had. For many, many years, a real lady. And I'm going to be talking about this as we go on the radio program tonight. One of those extraordinary ladies. In fact, the title of the message is Mothers and Memories and Two Extraordinary Ladies. And one of them, Marge Buelen, just went home to be with the Lord yesterday on Mother's Day at 5:40 p.m., and the funeral service is going to be held this Thursday. The viewing will be from 2 to 4 and from 6 to 8 at the Zaber Funeral Home. The Zaber Funeral Home, and that address is 5680 Pearl Road in Parma. You can go up to our website, wrwl.org, and it's posted there. And then on Friday, this coming Friday at 9 a.m., you're going to have this funeral service. I will be preaching her message, her funeral, right there at the funeral home from 9:30 to 10 p.m. at the Zaber Funeral Home. And then we're going to leave there for the cemetery, and that's the Ohio Western Reserve National Cemetery at 10175 Rawiga. That's Rawiga Road in Seville, Ohio. For more information, you can call 330-335-3069. 330-335-3069. Okay, so we got another prayer request. We're just getting into the program. Let's go take Fran's prayer request. Go ahead, Fran.
Yes, I've had a lot of severe pain in my stomach and all over my body, and you know, I'm supposed to see my doctor another week and so, but I trust prayer, you know, that God will move over this body of mine. And I want to thank for, you know, I'm glad I could help this baby, so that means special in my heart, you know. I'm so glad I received your money, and you know, I thank for my daughter sent the money and everything, so we're going to try to do it on a regular basis too.
All right, very good. I'm going to ask Pastor Hal, would you pray for a healing for Fran, Hal?
Father God, I pray right now that you would touch Fran. God, there's nothing impossible for you. You're the God of the impossible. You even said that in Jeremiah, God, that is there anything too hard for me? And of course there isn't. I pray right now that you would send healing into Fran's body, that you know exactly what's the matter with her, and I just pray that you command healing for her, God, and just bless her and help her to be all she can be for you, both spiritually and physically and in every way. Just revive her, renew her youth, take the pain away. God, just love her and bless her as much as she can handle. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
May I ask a question? is this Margie that your adopted child?
Yeah, it's Marge Pulin.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've known her so many years. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. All righty. Well, thanks, friend.
Okay, thanks.
All righty. Bye. We have to, I'm going to get right into, well, I'm not going to do the scripture that we normally do right now, but I'm just going to go with Mark here. Mark, every Mother's Day, we all recall fond memories of our mothers. And for most of us, that's all we have left is memories when you get my age. And for some of us, well, we wish that we had appreciated our mothers more when we had them with us, as much as we, well, appreciate them as much as we do now that they're gone. Last year, Mark, at this time, we were both mourning the loss of our dear friend Mary Stopher, and at the same time rejoicing in that she had fought a good fight, she'd ran a good race, finished her course, and made it home to receive a reward. Mary was relieved of her motherly duties on April 23rd, 2018, by her maker. This year, on this Mother's Day, we have both a heaviness of heart and a rejoicing, knowing that our beloved Marge Bulin went home to be with the Lord. She heard those priceless, priceless words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Marge, like Mary, believed in being fruitful and multiplying. They both loved children, not just their own, but all children, born and unborn. They, like all of you mothers here today, I was preaching this in church yesterday, in raising up your children, believed in raising up your children in the admonition of the Lord. They weren't like so many of the young women today who'd rather have cats and dogs than children. Now, I can imagine Mary being among the assembly of believers and family and friends of Marge, waiting to greet her as she steps foot on that heaven's golden shores. I'm going to read a little bit of the similarities these two had. It's an amazing thing what these two ladies had in common. First of all, they were both born on March 12th. They both were the only girls with several brothers. They both married men named Jim. They both had sons named Jim. Both of their first names started with M. They both came to volunteer to help me in the pro-life ministry. Again, both loved little children. Both attended Doers of the Word Baptist Church. Both were good friends of my wife. Both were wonderful, wonderful wives and mothers. Both would make that long every winter, that long trip every January to Washington, D.C. for the March for Life, even when their health was waning. And I know that in hell you would be there and I would have to fix the back seat of that bus up for Marge because she couldn't sit up. She had to lay down. And then Mary would sit across from me. And they wanted to go every year. They had to make that because they loved life so much. Both, well, both fought a valiant, valiant fight against cancer. Both honored me beyond words by asking me to preach their funerals. And both love their Lord with all their hearts and their souls. Well, as for the rest of us, as we await our call home to forever be with our Lord and all of his saints, this vapor of time that encompasses us will soon vanish, and we too will be greeted by such a cloud of witnesses. Until then, you may be gone, but you're not forgotten. Forgotten, never forgotten. Never. So we just want to say rest in peace, little sisters. You will be missed more than words can say. And with that, we'll start over tonight in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he male and female, created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, I want to jump very quickly over to Genesis 9, verse 7. And you be fruitful and multiply and bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. Now, Mark, the very first command that God gave man was to be fruitful and to multiply and fill the earth. How does that compare with what is being taught and preached today by all of the... well, all of the world out there?
Well, something right before that, you know, you mentioned Marge and Mary, and excuse me, something hit me, you know, right before that you said we lost, you know, Marge this weekend. And I heard someone say this one time, and, you know, if you know where something is at, then it's actually not lost. So, like, people say, well, I lost my keys. Well, I can look right here on my counter. My keys are sitting there. So I haven't actually lost my keys. Now, there's times I have lost my keys because I didn't know where they were. But you know the beauty is, you know, Pastor Sanders, we know exactly where Marge and Mary are right now. Exactly. And that gives us the hope that every one of us, and we have a believer that dies before we do. I had a good buddy, Zach, die a couple years ago, and he was just one of my best friends. Older gentleman down here, he loved to hit the streets. He loved to get out there and share his faith. He always encouraged me, and I encouraged him, and I even put him in one of my books as one of the characters in one of my novels because I just like Zach so much. And but I know exactly where Zach is at. He's in heaven right now enjoying the Lord Jesus Christ. So just a reminder to all the listeners is that's why we share our faith, and we're bold, and we're not ashamed of the gospel, because we want to see people before the throne one day and in heaven with us, Pastor Sanders, when we get there. And I tell people all the time, I have a good friend who's a famous basketball player, and I told him, I said, you know, I don't want to hang out with you here. I want to hang out with you there. I pointed towards heaven. I want to see you in heaven one day. And that's what we do when we share our faith and are bold and do that. So back to Genesis there, you know, what's interesting about that is that we live in such a selfish society, Pastor Sanders, as you know. Me, 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 I. Somebody wanted to take a selfie with me yesterday at a restaurant, and I said, hey, I don't do selfies. They're like, what? I said, I don't do selfies. And she said, no, I'm really good. I take a good picture. I said, I don't do selfies. She said, why wouldn't you do a selfie? I said, what's the common denominator of every selfie out there? And she said, it's you. You're in the picture. I said, exactly. I said, me, 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 I. You go to people's, you know, their Facebook page, and every picture's got them in it. And I used to work with teenagers. I still do. And I would always tell them, life isn't about you. It's about other people. It's about the Lord. It's about getting away from your phone and go chat with somebody. It might just look like a woman at the well. It might be a great chapter in the Bible one day. You don't know that. And so what happens is you hit it right. You know, a lot of us would just rather have cats and dogs instead of being fruitful and multiply across here, as the command of God says. And we should be excited. We have 1, 2, 3. Some friends of mine have 12 kids now. 11th and 12th were twins. And I told them, Pastor Sanders, I told them, I said, they raise the neatest kids. They homeschool. They birth at home. The kids love the Lord. They share their faith. And I told them, I said, have all the kids you want, man. You raise the best kids and stuff like that. So, again, I don't think we're thinking long term sometimes. And really, when you study it, the reason Islam is taking over in many areas is not by invasion, it's by infiltration. They infiltrate, and then they have very big families. They have lots of kids, and they slowly but surely start taking over London or taking over Dearborn, Michigan, and they do it by family. But we're the ones commanded to get married and have very big families for the Lord.
Well, you're right, and also they do it by having several wives.
I was going to say that because once you know, if you study Osama bin Laden, he was, if I have it correct, the 17th of 52 children. Okay.
Well,
he didn't have, his dad didn't have 52 children by one lady. And the other thing that hit me, though, Pastor, was when I was reading and studying on that was, wait a minute, how much time did he get with his father? Because you know I do prison ministry work, and it's one of the biggest issues we're dealing with. I'll even ask guys in prison, I said, how many of you did not grow up with your biological father in the exact same household? And it does not matter the color of the skin. It's 75 to 80% of the guys raise their hand up. And then I typically ask them, I said, okay, how many of you guys got kids at home? And it's not all the same hands, but about 80 to 85% of the hands go up. And I said, fellas, I said, do you see where we're going? I said, I can come back here in 20 years, and who will I be speaking to? And it finally hits them. They said, our kids, our boys. I said, exactly. And I said, I don't want to speak to you and your boys inside the barbed wire. I want to speak to you outside the barbed wire. So what can we do to make sure we're talking on the outside, not the inside? Well, you instantly have their attention, because there isn't a parent out there, even bad parents, who say, man, I can't wait till my boy goes to jail. I'm going to be so excited. None of them ever say that. But again, that's where it goes back to, again, the fathering issue and doing it God's way, as it says and tells us in Genesis how to do it.
Well, you know, you bring up a point, and you know, I've been in the prison ministry, I bet longer than you, 48 years now. And and here, I remember one specific case where this father who wanted me and to talk to his sons and tell them this was not the right way, and he tried to explain to them. He was known as one of the largest drug busts in the entire country, and anyhow, he would try to explain and tell his sons, you know, this is not the way you want to go, but he became kind of a hero in their neighborhood. He was the guy, you know.
Right.
And we tried to, and I, you know, talked to his sons and us, you know, did the best we could until they both ended up in a prison right across the street from the prison that he was in. And that, you know, that was something, how it broke his heart. But anyhow, well, you're right.
I had a guy in prison one time tell me, Pastor, he looked at me and he said, I thank God I got put in this prison. I'm like, what? He said, my life was so fast. Fast cars, fast drugs, fast women. I came to prison, everything slowed down. I began to think, I began to read, I began to study the Bible, and I've gotten saved now. He said, I thank God I got put in this prison. So again, remember to all your audience out there, not everybody has to go through, you know, a Saul to Paul experience of, you know, arresting Jews and killing Jews. You don't have to go to jail to have a great testimony and things like that. But that's what's beautiful when people like that, or JL comes out of this funk with the anorexia, and they come out and you get this great testimony because of that. And we had one up at a maximum security prison, Pastor Sanders, and it was this guy named Kenneth. And I went up there to speak, and he was in there listening and stuff, and I left. And, well, just a short time later, he repented of his sins and got born again and saved. And I know the chaplain up there, his name is Charlie Chaplin. And he told me that after 6 months, the officers came to him and they said, hey, I want to know what happened to Charlie. He's like, what? He said, I want to know what happened to Charlie. We had to write Charlie up every day. He was in solitary confinement almost his entire time here. He has not gotten in trouble one time in 6 months, okay? Tell me what happened to Kenneth. And Charlie looked at the officers and he said, That's what I've been trying to tell you. That's what Jesus does. He changes your life once he comes in. I've been trying to tell you guys. Well, guess what? Now we've had some officers up there, correction officers get saved as well, who just, and it began with a murderer getting saved and living his life for the Lord. That light was shining in darkness, and it was just beautiful to watch, very beautiful.
Well, you know, you had mentioned homeschooling before, and I homeschooled, you know, but also, in fact, I was actually one of the pioneers here in the state of Ohio in the homeschooling movement back in the early 70s. But I had taken my son with me to death row when he was only 6 years old, and I would take him up there. And the men up there, it was to them, they all wanted to tell them, they all wanted to say, don't do the what we've done. And
right.
And it became such a blessing to them, and he got a real education at a very young age.
Right.
And but you're right. I had one of the inmates tell me that probably the best thing that ever happened to me was going to prison, because I would have been dead, and I would have been dead, lost it in my sin, and I'd have been in hell today had not I ended up going to prison. And of course,
no, that is so huge. That is so true, Pastor. I mean, drugs will either, you'll go broke, you'll wind up in jail, or you'll die. And yet, we have numerous people walking down those roads and doing that. And one, for your listening audience, if your church is not doing prison ministry, you're making a huge mistake. Because one thing that happens is once you walk into a prison and you can talk to this thief, this armed robber, this rapist, this child molester, or this murderer, what ends up happening, and you know this, is when you come out of the prison, that tattooed guy up there doesn't look so tough, or that college kid or college professor, they're not that tough to witness to once you witness to some of those bad folks like that. So one, it'll encourage you to keep up the pace sharing your faith when you're outside the prison and do that. Two, you don't realize how much the inmates appreciate you coming in there. Because they know you're taking, you're volunteering your time, you're taking time out of your schedule to come see them, when a lot of these people don't even get one visitor. Here comes the Christian group that wants to come in here and spend some time and chat with
Mark, hold tight, we're up against the heartbreak, but you brought me to a letter that I just happened to have right here. We'll be back right after this with more. Don't go away, we'll be right back.
Welcome to God's world.
To God's world.
Won't you come on in?
Come on in.
Miracles start here.
Miracles start here.
He'll take away your sin.
Take away your sin.
Open up your heart.
Open up your heart.
Leave your fears behind.
Leave them all behind.
You'll be living there.
You'll be living there.
Until the end of time.
Till the end of time.
And his door will open. Seek, and you will find. Ask, and you'll be given. Eternal life, sublime. He'll be waiting there. Open wide.
His arms open wide.
Waiting there for you.
Waiting there for you.
You are why he died.
Why he died.
He'll be waiting there.
He'll be waiting there.
His arms open wide.
It was for you and I that he was crucified.
Alrighty, we are back, and we have Mark Cahill with us. And Mark, before we go any further, tell the folks how they can get your movies, your DVDs, and your books, and tell them how they can get to your website.
Yeah, so our website is Mark Cahill, M-A-R-K, and then my last name is Cahill, C-A-H-I-L-L.org, so markcahill.org. Don't go to markcahill.com. That's an atheist in Germany who doesn't like me too much, so make sure you go to markcahill.org. And we have, I've written 7 books, some of our DVDs are really fun to encourage you to share your faith, be bold for Christ, never be ashamed of the gospel. Then we also have like gospel tracts and booklets that's what Linda takes on the cruises and gives them out to everybody under the sun. And then people read them and get a hold of us, you know, or they let us know they got saved and things like that. But also, since we were mentioned homeschool, I've done 4 nonfiction books, Pastor Sanders, and 3 novels. One of the novels, one of the heroes, is a homeschool kid because I'm just a big fan of homeschooling. But the 4 nonfiction books actually have free study guides with them. So actually a lot of homeschool families use them in their curriculum. A lot of churches use them in their Sunday school classes, their men's and women's groups, their youth groups, and things like that. So everything at the website is donation only, so you just order what you want, give what you want, and get the material out there and let it ripple across the land and get people sharing their faith and stuff like that.
And I wanted to mention, as we were talking about the eulogies with Marge and Mary, it was 5 years ago yesterday, that lady that sang with me in that song you just heard, Welcome to God's World, Esty Christman. Esty came, she moved over here from Israel, didn't know anybody, and she received Christ as a Savior. She got saved, and boy, I'm going to tell you, that really caused a major problem in her family. She got,
yep,
she got totally, you know, shunned by her family and disowned, if you will. But she stayed with it, and even though she soon was in ill health and in poverty, she stayed, and she was offered $1 million to denounce Christ, and she turned it down.
Oh, wow.
And here, Esty died 5 years ago yesterday on Mother's Day, and that's something how Marge and Esty and all these ladies that work with us in the ministry, wonderful ladies. I mean, the good Lord has sent me some of the most godly women that you ever want to meet, and I just want to praise the good Lord for that.
Yeah, you know, there's nothing like the faithful women who follow the Lord, but the faithful older women that do that. And again, you know this, and I know this just through meeting so many people. It seems like that a lot of men are kind of veering off. They're not staying as strong as they should, you know, not being the head of the household and things like they should. But man, there are just some faithful ladies that just, they encourage the daylights out of me, because it's like there's no way on earth they're giving up. And I was speaking at a church in Alabama, and this guy walked up to me, and he said to me, "Sir," he said, "I haven't, I've just started coming back to church. I was out of church for 10 years. He said, "Sir," it's probably late 20s, "Sir, that was the best sermon I have ever heard in my entire life." Now, for some reason, I was actually watching this guy, pastor, in the audience for some reason, and he was kind of in, he was out, he was, like, he wasn't paying attention the whole time, so it really shocked me when he said that. Well, a little bit later, his mom walked up. I was chatting with his mother, and I told her what her son said. She said, "Oh," he said, "what you don't know is that he was strung out on heroin for 10 years, and he's just recently gotten clean and just starting to get back coming to church. His body's, you know, detoxing all the junk out of him." And so I said, "Well, thank you so much for sticking with him and, you know, and not, you know, walking away from him." She looked at me and said, "I'm a mother." She said, "I'm not walking away from my son." And, you know, like, no matter how much trouble he got into, this faithful Christian mother was not going anywhere. So I just love the faithful Christian ladies out there. They're amazing, and they encourage the church, but they encourage us men as well.
Well, you know, I want to jump back to where you started tonight, and that is on the inmates and the prisons. I have a letter right here, and this one's from Denny. And Denny says, "Dear Pastor Ernie, I hope this letter finds you doing well. And this is death row inmates. I ministered to him now for almost 5 decades. He said, "I'm enclosing a kite that I sent to the case manager asking that I could, what I could do to have you reinstated to my visit list." He said you had to contact Amy Hamilton and appeal the decision. I don't hold much hope in her fairness, as she is opposed to anything and everything that benefits us death row inmates. Well, and that's true. She was a big part of the problem. We will continue to pray and ask the good Lord to find a way to have you back here with us, because we really need you to minister to us. And, well, here, and he says, and the spiritual team. Well, make a long story short, what happened was, we had a couple things take place up there. And, you know, after almost 5 decades visiting, ministering in those prisons. Now, we're still in the prisons. We're just not in death row now. But what's happened is we had a situation where somebody in the ministry, first of all, sent a package. Well, we've been sending packages to death row inmates for over 40 years. A lot of these guys don't ever get anything. The food here in Ohio, the prisons has... You wouldn't believe what it has deteriorated to. They have these vending operations come in, and because of these vending operations, what they virtually did is the food that the inmates used to get, that level or grade of food, was reduced down to something you don't want to feed your animals. And the reason being is the vending operations, they said, okay, now you can get the other food, but you have to pay for it. Folks at home got to send you some money. Right. I mean, it's bad. Anyhow, so what happened was we sent a package. Now, I don't know who sent it. I didn't send the package, but we've been sending packages throughout the ministry. And because it came from our ministry and I'm the head of our ministry, first of all, when Gary Odie, I was his pastor for years, it was Gary's time to be executed. And so Gary, 4 times said, "Pastor, you're going to be there with me, right? You're not going to, you know," Gary didn't have anybody. He didn't have anybody. I said, "Yeah, I'll be there. You know, all of these years I've sat there with probably over 20 men when they killed them, you know."
Wow.
And a lot of those men weren't guilty. I know several of them that were not guilty of their crimes they were committed of. Anyhow.
Right, right.
And see, most people out there don't know that. They don't have a clue of what's going on. But you have a lot of innocent inmates there in prison. And so what happened was they came down and they told Gary. Gary was a great big kind of a jolly guy. He had, when he was young, gotten hold of some drugs and alcohol. Him and some other guys got in a fight and somebody ended up dead. And so that's what he was on there. On death row for, but he actually did it. But here now, he had repented of that. He'd asked the Lord into his heart. And so when it came time, they came down, the warden came down, and the warden was smiling according to the letter he sent me and said, "By the way, you're not going to be able to have Pastor Sanders with you." Now, I have a good friend also who's a chaplain over there. He was with him, and we praise the good Lord for that. But he told me, Gary told me, that when this woman, Amy came down, a Hamilton woman, when she came down, she had brought a paper from a Lucasville prison. That's where they execute these men. And there was no reason at all for her to ever do this. He had no reason for him to see this paper. But she came in to show him that the prison had sent a letter over to Chile where he was at saying, "We have enough poison on hand to kill Gary Odie." And he said that when she showed it to him, she was laughing. That's some of the kind of stuff that goes on in our prisons today. Well,
yeah, it's interesting because, so one, to the people listening tonight, remember, every single one of us have needed second chances and third chances and fourth and 15 million chances sometimes. And the beauty of the God of the Bible is he allows you to repent and come back to him when you mess up. I mean, it's the gorgeousness of the cross and the forgiving spirit of Almighty God. But then all of a sudden, when a crime happens, or a crime happens to someone in our family, or we think a crime happens because television tells us these people actually did it, we don't think sometimes, you know, Pastor Sanders, that those people deserve or should get a second chance. And I tell people all the time, until you've gone to a prison and heard men, but especially in women's prisons, heard them sing to the Lord, I said, you have never heard real singing before, because they understand forgiveness. The ones who have, you know, committed the crime and then they're forgiven of it, they totally understand of being released of that burden and doing that. But again, this goes back to a lot of us don't realize that a lot of these people get railroaded in there, and it can be the color of their skin. It can be because they're low income. They can't pay a bail. It can be a bad FBI agent. It can be a bad district attorney. It seems like this happened, but what you're talking about is evil.
One of the great reasons to go to a prison
is you really get to see the difference between light and dark. And there are some, you're so right, wardens like that, that actually want to mock a man as he's taking his last breath out of here. But that encourages me and you to keep fighting harder to reach these people, because we know where they're going. But then we pray for people like that, that the day will come where she'll get on her knees and repent and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ as well.
Well, you know, I've changed it from Ohio Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation to Corruption and Restrictions. You know, when I was a young guy years ago starting out, I thought the bad guys were in prison, the good guys put them there. But then over the years, as I experienced our judicial system, and I was going to courts and I would be in the courtrooms watching what was taking place. That's why we started a For Real True Christian Resistance movement here, where we have courtroom observers. We all show up because, like everything else in our society, being in that we are in the great apostasy, God's Word, the Bible talks about, we have seen the level of truthfulness and honor in our prison, in our judicial system. The corruption is just amazing.
I've been reading a couple books about a couple high-profile cases, and the way they manufactured evidence to try to bring guilty verdicts, and you know this, Pastor Sanders, but people out there who are just moseying, going to church, and just kind of going through the motions, you do not understand.
They're clueless, aren't they, until it happens to them.
Right, until it becomes personal, and then all of a sudden, now I got to deal with it and do that. But again, that's why when we're on the streets, we hand tracts to police officers, we talk to police officers, because if those guys are saved, or those ladies are saved, then they can do it the right way, because there's some great ones out there. But I'm telling you, man, some of this frustrates the daylights out of me. It just frustrates me.
One of the other reasons that you mentioned is in order to, if there's an investigation out there, and people have a good reason to want that investigation stopped, because that investigation could lead to them. Many times they're more than happy to pay a prosecutor very well to put somebody else down. And that happens a lot more than people realize.
Yeah, they don't understand that, Pastor. And the thing to remember out there is ultimate justice is going to happen. Our sins are going to find us out, either on this side or on the other side. But what we want to see is those people get born again and saved, so they will begin to treat every inmate, every officer, treat each one of them biblically correct and do that. But until then, I just don't think people understand how really evil and wicked this world currently is until it hits them in the face.
Well, you're right, and it's getting worse because, you know, years ago, back in the early 70s, I was part of the movement here to start homeschooling. And the reason was, it was very obvious that what was taking place, people were sending their children to the public school system, and that's and what we were calling it. We named it to schools for fools, okay? And
right.
And what was happening is these young children were being taught to totally be against everything their parents taught them. They were undoing everything. They were taking out all of their faith in God. And I remember back in those days when I was telling people, if you love your children, get them out of the public school system. Some of the most resistance I got were from people who were supposed to be evangelical Christians. And what was happening, they were saying, how in the world are we going to reach the children in the public schools if we don't send our children in as evangelists? And there's a big problem with that. And I made the point, don't you see what's happening? You're not going to, your children are not going to change the children in the public school system when every authority figure is going to be against, totally against. Your children are the one that's going to get changed. And that's exactly what happened. Well, what happened was, Mark, after a little time, this fellow named James Dobson, this child psychologist, he came out and he started saying, if you love your children, get them out of the public school system. And then Adrian Rogers started saying, if you love your children, get them out of the public school system. And then a guy named D. James Kennedy started saying, well, when that was taking place, then I wasn't such a crazy radical anymore now, okay? But if we take a look at what has happened, and people don't understand that that public school system is where it starts, and that's the reason for so many of these young men ending up in prison to begin with.
No, you're exactly right. And you know, it's like to all your parents out there, I mean, come on now. They're teaching kindergartners about transgenderism now in our schools. I mean, this is how bad it's gotten. And the one that hit me was years ago. I have an aunt that she's passed away now, but she worked in the Denver school systems. And so the kids from her middle school, they all went up to Columbine High School where the shooting was at back in 99, wherever it was. And so all of her kids went up there. And so when the school shooting happened, I was doing some research on it later, and they said that the average teenager will see 40,000 murders by the time they're 18. So whether television or movies or video games, they're actually going to see 40,000 murders. And so Eric Harris, Dylan Klebold, the two shooters there, and I just began to think for a second, Pastor. I said, what if they would have seen 40,000 times, thou shalt not murder, or 40,000 times, honor your mother and father, or 40,000 times, John 3:16. Would we have a different outcome in our schools today because of it? But now we've actually gotten to the point that the hatred and the vitriol towards conservative viewpoint, but especially Christian conservative viewpoint, is so out of control. I'm telling you, moms and dads, you don't see six-year-old evangelists in the Bible going up against a 40-year-old teacher trying to get their point across. You know, in the Old Testament, we sent men out to war, or men were counted for a census. Both cases, they had to be 20 years or older to go out to war. But yet we're sending 10-year-olds off to battle, 12-year-olds in a middle school, where one, they're not prepared for it. Two, they're not protected by their parents against what the teachers are teaching. But then three, they're influenced so much by all the other kids where these people just want to fit in. And they just want to go along with the flow. And that actually goes back to what you said about why you got resistance from evangelical Christians on homeschooling, because they just wanted to go with the flow. Let's not rock the boat. Keep it nice and smooth. And then in 10 years, their son or daughter's walked away from the Lord, and now they're frustrated on their knees in prayer when they had an answer to help them 10 years earlier. to get their kids out of that public school system. So
you know, that's exactly what's happened. You know, Alex, that's exactly what happened, Mark, is that so many of the people I talked to today whose children they'd sent to public school and their children totally left the faith, completely left the faith. And I would just refer, just spoke to a couple just recently, and the mother was against sending their children off, a son and a daughter, to the Marxist colleges there, but because they were a very well-known, high-rated university, her husband got his way, sent them out, and these who used to attend church every day, who had a profession of faith, both of them totally abandoned their faith, totally abandoned their faith. And but that's one of so many cases that I've heard of.
The stories are crazy. The letters we get and you get as well. I think in the Southern Baptist Convention, I think the number is 88% of Southern Baptist youth will ditch their faith by the time they're a senior in college. I was preaching up in Canada, and I can't remember the denomination, but one guy told me his denomination was 90% of those kids will walk away because they're not prepared to go up against an atheistic professor who have the specific goal of destroying your child's faith. Don't try to stay there trying to teach them sociology or anthropology. They're actually trying to destroy your child's faith. That's part of some of their goals to do that. We had a kid here I worked with in Atlanta, and just a total stud. I mean, great kid. I'd take him on the streets witnessing, just a wonderful family. He made the fatal error of getting a perfect score on his SAT. I think it was 1600 back in the day, because when you get a perfect score, every college wants you, and they will pay for you to come to their college. Well, he chooses to go to University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, as liberal as it gets. He goes there. I keep in touch with him, talk to him every few months, whatever, and just a little bit here, a little had friends that were atheists there, didn't want to call sin sin like he used to, and the next thing you know, completely ditched his faith. And I ran into his father, and his father was just shattered by that. We thought it was a good deal that someone else paid for my kid's college, and all that happened was we paid for to take your kid away from Jesus Christ. Parents, don't do that to your kids. Don't do that to your kids.
Well, you're absolutely right. But anyhow, going back, and that's where it started, and going back to the prison, when you talk about fathers, all of these, one of the major things that all of these young inmates had in common was no father in the house. And here I was thinking how, you know, I would have thought that without any father there, that raising children, a single mother would have brought her closer with her children. But it had the opposite. The mother, a single mother raising her children, often had exactly the opposite effect. It put anger and a barrier between her and her sons. And her sons became very, very anti-woman. And so then what happens is you put them in prison, and then you have these women that are very anti-men. I mean, they want to be able to somehow have power over men. And what happens is you get there, and it's like what we just saw, what I was just telling you about in that prison system. They better hope that they'd never have a riot there, because these women that do that, you know, I'm going to tell you, if they have a riot, these girls are in big, big trouble, because they're going to die slowly, I'm afraid, okay? That's what's happening in our system. The system, it starts out in the public school system, and it goes all through. And then when these guys do end up in prison, and, well, one of these days.
It goes back to, Pastor, where we started at, Genesis. And because we choose, we have free will, we choose not to do it God's way. We choose not to man and woman get married, two Christian men and women get married, and then they stay together 10, 20, 30. I met a couple the other day in a mall, 72 years they've been married. and you have kids and you keep that unit together. But once we allowed divorce to become so easy and we, no, you know, I don't love her anymore, and we begin to break up this, current numbers, I think, in the black community, it's 72% of black kids do not grow up with their biological father, and the white community is now up to like 35%. And we're seeing this ripple effect because we will not do it God's way. And you talk about women who hate men. If you ever talk to lesbians, many of them have had such a bad guy experience, they want nothing to do with guys. And I actually had a lesbian tell me one day, she said, she told me she had a boyfriend that used to take his cigarettes and put his cigarettes out on her, burn them into her forearm. And she just said to herself, you know, I bet ladies treat me better than this. And that's how she went into the lesbian world. So again, it comes back to being good, strong, biblical men, doing it God's way, and then let the good ripples happen from there.
Well, boy, I can't imagine staying with a guy would do that to me once, and then he wouldn't do it again. But, it's an amazing thing. But you know what I see, Mark, is there in feminism, these women, they hate God. They really do, because in their life somewhere, they felt that they were rejected by a strong male figure, and they can't touch God. They can't touch God, and mostly what they can do to men is just nag us and make us miserable. So they want to take their anger out on the least, the most innocent, and that's the unborn babies. That's why right. These feminists, why they hate, that's why they love abortion. I mean, they love to try to destroy the image of God. They're striking out because, and the Bible says that all of those that hate God love death. All of those that hate God love death, and they truly hate God, and they truly love death. Yeah, the end.
It is so sad. But even when you study lesbianism, there's a huge domestic violence issue in the lesbian world, much more than the gay men world, that physical violence, punching, but that's exactly what you're saying. There's an anger in them because of something.
And hey, hang tight, Mark. We're up against the heartbreak. Hold it. We'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. We'll be right back with more.